Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Welcome to another episode of Shuffology. My name is Asabi Goodman, and I am joined by Josh DeVetta.
Hello.
And Gracie Mack.
Hello.
Now, in today's episode, we are talking about the artist formerly known as Symbol Prince. Prince is an iconic figure and just loved by so many. And I've written a few words that I'd like to say.
Oh, please,
about
share
Prince.
With us.
On June 7th, 1958, the world had no idea that it was about to change in one of the most significant ways ever. For on this day in Minneapolis, Minnesota, Prince Rogers Nelson was born. Prince, named after his father's stage name, Prince Rogers, was the son of jazz singer Matty Della and pianist-songwriter John Lewis Nelson. He was given this name because his father wanted him to, quote, do all the things I wanted to do. And so he did. A true musical prodigy, Prince excelled at piano, guitar, bass, drums, and voice. He was known for his melodic falsetto as well as his rock-infused screams. Prince's grasp of the musical genres jazz, funk, rock, R&B, soul, and synth pop led him to create what is known as the Minneapolis Sound, a funk rock sound that became popular in the late 70s and that influenced such musical acts as Morris Day and the Time, Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, Janet Jackson, Apollonia 6, Vanity 6, and Sheila E. Not only was Prince a talented instrumentalist and vocalist, he was also a prolific songwriter, penning tunes not only for himself, but for the likes of Sinead O'Connor, Chaka Khan, The Bangles, and a number of artists who have sung his songs. Prince was also active in the film industry, having appeared in such films as Purple Rain, his debut, Under the Cherry Moon, and Graffiti Bridge, and he scored the music to the 1989 Tim Burton film Batman, for which his song Bat Dance went to number one on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100 and Hot R&B charts. And Prince was not just into music. Anyone who has seen him walk a red carpet or in any awards show would recognize the impeccable threads he was dressed in. Prince was known for conceptualizing his own style and working with mostly Minneapolis-based designers to bring them to life. From his assless chaps to his iconic, sometimes controversial funky music, Prince was unapologetically himself. In his life, he released 46 studio albums, that's over 900 songs, and posthumously, he released two. He has won 7 Grammy Awards, a Golden Globe, and an Academy Award. He was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame the first year he was eligible in 2004, and in 2004, he was named the top male pop artist of the past 25 years by ARC Rock on the net, and Rolling Stone ranked Prince number 27 on their list of the 100 greatest artists of all time. On April 21st, 2016, at the age of 57, Prince Rogers Nelson said goodbye to this world. May he rest in power. My friends, today we give you the music of Prince.
Yeah. That is so good.
Yes.
I love him so much. All right, so we are going to take a short break, and then we are going to come back with Josh's choices.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And we're back. So today on Shuffology, we are talking about the iconic singer, songwriter, multi-instrumentalist Prince.
Is that a new artist?
He's somewhat new.
Right, okay.
Yeah, you know, you might have heard of him. I don't know.
I'll check out Triple J and Earth later.
So Josh, yes. Tell us what your choices are.
Great. Well, I probably have not the least experience, but like I love Prince and revere his talent very, very much. So I'll just go straight into it. The first ever Prince song I ever heard was actually on the Romeo and Juliet soundtrack, the Baz Luhrmann one from the little kid in the choir that sang When Doves Cry.
Yes.
And also, Guy Sebastian covered it when he was on Australian Idol back when he, in that first season. It was one of his, you know, I think it was actually 80s week or something like that. And yeah, he sang, yeah, When Doves Cry, an amazing song. And I love the, how can you leave me standing alone in a world that's so cold or something like that. I probably just added a riff because I felt like it and because what is a melody these days? But yeah, so really, really great, right? Like I think that whole, the instrumental riff of bum, 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 bum. The synths are very like 80s. When I think about 80s songs, like this is definitely a song I think about that, you know, encapsulates the sound at the time and things like that. Also, the music video is also very, like, to me, I find it quite camp. Mm-hmm. But he was, as we know, Prince was so good at writing that line of like, you know, what is sexuality? What is gender? Sort of thing before what is before the progressive conversation is even. Like it's, we have it now, but it was definitely not a progressive as progressive conversation back then and things like that. Yeah. So I find Prince really, I guess iconic to me on like, you know, how are you so sure of yourself that you don't give a shit about, you know, how other people are labeling you and things like that. Similar to Michael Jackson, he had that, you know, sort of like, you know, that not almost like a non-binary spirit or non-binary approach to his art, which is really, really cool. Mm. And had some funky threads, as Asabi said in her opening speech. That's my first choice. My second one, I love this. It was actually, I remember when I was studying music at uni, and one of my first ever subjects was the history of pop music, and of course Prince is a part of that blueprint, and this was the song that they actually played as like, because I had I think this probably contributed to why I love you know, making playlists, is that my lecturer, she would always have the song ready to play for us, or the music video and things like that, when we were going through like the 80s into, you know, late 70s into 80s and 90s, and she played the song Little Red Corvette, and I always just love the chorus, Little Red Corvette. I just thought that's a really, really simple but beautiful melody, right? And with that, I always when it comes on, like maybe like on a shuffle with your Spotify or Apple Music or whatever you use, the kids use these days, TikToks or whatever. the beginning reminds me actually of Time After Time by Cyndi Lauper as well. That same sort of like. Like they were really utilizing newer technologies, and it was really, really cool to like. So when I hear the beginning, I always have to go, which one is it going to be? Is it going to be Cyndi or Prince, sort of thing? So that's two choices. The third one, I actually remember when I think of this song, there's actually a really, really famous Brisbane band. I'm not sure if they're still together. Called the Boat People. They were a bit of a like a really indie sort of local band, and actually one of the band members was a lecturer at my uni too, because a lot of our lecturers are also working musicians and all that kind of stuff. And anyway, he had proposed to his partner or his wife or fiance at a gig, and the band was playing this song called "The Most Beautiful Girl in the World." Could you be the most beautiful girl in the world? And he goes for this incredibly high falsetto note at the end of the song. I remember thinking when I was younger, oh, I want to be able to hit that. Still can't. So, but back in the day, this is actually pre-Prince passing. You couldn't have his music digitally, online and things like that. You had to So Prince was very particular about many things about his music. You know, he was a very he was really semantical almost about like, you know, the details of his art, you know. And So even the band that was playing it, the YouTube had picked up on it, and they actually had emailed the YouTube account saying, you need to take this video down because you can't even have a performance of Prince's song online.
Really?
Yeah, without approval.
Wow.
Yeah, so
very true.
Very, very true. And also but I think it's a really, really beautiful song. I always thought that maybe I would sing this to somebody one day. Still haven't. So no one's beautiful enough to be quite bloody. No.
Yeah, it's not you, it's them.
Yeah, exactly. never me, darling. I also wanted to pop into the playlist the Prince's version of Nothing Compares to You.
Yes.
Famously by Sinead O'Connor. Mm-hmm. But I like his approach because it's more guitar driven. I find Sinead's to be more like vocal with a lot of reverb and like a lighter instrumentation.
Heavy sort synth.
Heavy synth. Yeah. So I really, really like Prince's version. And also, when you're the songwriter, I want to hear, you know, your rendition of it, I guess, as well, and that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, I wanted to pop that in there because it's already a wildly famous song because of Sinead O'Connor, but I thought I'd just pop that one in there as well, just
when
because...
When did that come out, like Prince's version?
Prince's, it definitely was recorded before Sinead's because I've actually used Sinead O'Connor's, that song, in another Shuffleology episode before.
Did they release it on Diamonds and Pearls, I thought, or...
I'm telling you.
Let's look at the Prince vault.
Well, someone
yeah,
someone
Prince vault is so good.
You talk, I'll look at the Prince vault.
You crack the code and I will keep on going. So, and also I actually, because I was really, you know, we've all chosen great Prince songs for this particular playlist. And so I really challenged myself to go a bit more B-side deep album cut for a choice as well, just so I wasn't like doing the usuals and all that kind of stuff. And I'm just going to quickly look up on Spotify because I can't remember what album it was from. I just wrote the song down. But the song is called Sex Me, Sex Me Not. which I love. I really, really love that. And Prince brought out an album in the mid-2000s and it was all... like house remixes and tracks. Yes. The music, tracks from the music club. Yeah, the Chocolate Invasion. That's what it's called. And yeah, the song's called Sex Me, Sex Me Not. And I was, first of all, I was drawn to the title, but then I listened to it and it's really, really good, like that kind of lounge house sound. Really, really funky. Like you could definitely be sitting in like a Havana, like in the Cabana lounge at the side of the pool. Everyone else is dancing around, the DJ's playing like that deep house music sort of thing. Not quite the trance because the drugs haven't kicked in yet, but
yeah, right. Early in the night.
Earlier in the night. And I just thought this was a really, really cool song. So yeah, so I actually only heard it today. And I really, really like
it.
I've already added it to like my, I have a playlist that I make of just like new songs I need to listen to just so I'm always staying on top of the pulse sort of thing.
That's really good.
And so Sex Me, Sex Me, I'll get into it. It's really, really funky. I wish I could play it for you now to try and explain why I like it. But
well,
sometimes
listen
you,
to the playlist, yeah, everyone.
Exactly. Sometimes you can press play and feel inspired and have no reason why you do feel inspired by it.
Yeah.
But a really, really cool song. So they're my five Prince choices. I also wanted to say like about Prince in general, I have a really quick story to tell. And it was when this was back in the 80s, early 90s, late 80s, somewhere around there. And I have a really close friend of mine, Lewis. He's like a hip hop dancer and he used to like do club managing back in the day when the clubs were actually, you know, cool people actually went out to the club and for not just to dance, but to gather and have a good time. And anyway, the particular club that he was working in at the time, so Prince had actually played here in Brisbane and Prince is always known to do just random after shows just because he feels like playing. He'll just, you know, they'll, his team will organize like a venue really, really last minute.
Yeah.
No one will really announce. It will just be like rumored that Prince might play at a venue after because he feels like it. So he actually rocked up to this club one night. And so my friend Lewis, he welcomed Prince at the door, said like, you know, hey, thank you. Well, welcome to the club. And apparently he's very soft when he shakes your hand. He's like, if you don't know someone, he's not going to be like,
yeah.
So it was just like, you know, come in, here's the green room. And anyway, and when he does his little after shows, like it's no like small jam. Like he expects his whole band rocks up, background singers, keyboard players, everything like that, throwing all the instruments on the stage, let's do it sort of thing. And anyway, they were having a jam and then apparently the place was packed like broom to brim. Like people were like, you know, if there was even like a 5x5 centimeter room on the floor, people would just get their foot on there just to like, because they could try and get closer to the stage, things like that. And anyway, he was up there, he was jamming for a good hour with the band, you know, playing whatever. And anyway, the keyboardist was also a background singer, I think, as well. And anyway, apparently the keyboardist, she was really struggling vocally. I think because, you know, they just done a show and I don't think she felt like singing even more. Anyway, and he wanted her to sing. And so apparently he's there jamming on the guitar and he turns around and goes, sing. And she's like, and she's shaking her head like, no, I I'm on vocal rest. You know? Yeah. Something, or like, I don't know if I've got it in me, you know, sort of thing. And he just goes, sing. like that and like grits his teeth apparently. And I think once Prince grits your teeth and tells you to sing, you just got to do what you're fucking told, yes, don't you? Right. Basically. That makes sense. And I love that story. It's just like, oh, imagine being side stage watching like mm-hmm. how the artist like communicates with their mm-hmm. band and everything like that. And I, yeah, so I thought I'd add that in the mix.
I could see him throwing some side eye.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I also love, yeah, I remember watching an interview when he was like, and also my mic is live, and just stares dead into the camera. Like just throwing shade at every single lip syncing act.
Yeah.
Possible. Anyway, that's my contributions. Thank you very much, everybody.
Fantastic. So just a follow up. So Nothing Compares to You was released by Sinead O'Connor in 1990.
Yes.
And because of the success of it, Prince started performing it live from 1990. And he re-recorded it and released it on his 12th studio album, which was called One Night Alone, which was a live studio album. And then it was also released on, it was the 11th track on another album called The Hits One, where he has Rosie Gaines singing backing vocals with him.
Those are
the backing vocals that you hear in
lovely.
In
well,
track.
Thanks for letting me know that, Asami.
Cool. You're no worries. All right, we're going to take a short break and then we'll come back with Gracie Mac's choices.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Hello, thank you very much. Well, we have had an amazing intro by Asami.
We have.
Very reminiscent of our Josh DeVetta's Lady Gaga intro.
But not as good. Nowhere near as good.
We've also heard from myself talking about my Prince choices. We're talking about Prince. How exciting.
Mm-hmm, yes.
I mean, the conversation could never end. We can always, you know, really revere his talent and his catalogue and everything that goes along with it. But we're going to throw it over to Gracie Mac. She's going to program in her choices so that when you press shuffle on this playlist, you'll be jamming from 9 to 5. There we go. Do I sound like a radio DJ from the 80s? Like,
yes. So good. So good.
So my favorite type of Prince, I have no hit and miss relationship with his music. There's some songs that I'm like, oh yeah, it's so great. And then some that I'm like, eh. There's nothing that I would say I vehemently dislike.
Say that for the flops, darling.
Yeah. Or is there? but my favorite thing that Prince does so well is funk. And so nearly all of my choices are funk because he nails it with the many bands that he's had behind him. My first track is Kiss.
Yes.
You don't have to be rich to be bothered.
So, so good. The first time I heard this, I'm pretty sure it was at... I went to performing arts schools in high school. And I think it was, you know, first year. Or they don't have glee clubs at performing arts schools, okay? They just have
it's one big
class.
Glee club.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Your assessment piece, isn't it?
Yeah. So they used to have lunchtime concerts, which is a really cool idea for
teenagers.
Like a
hot lunch jam?
Awesome. Sign up and be like, we have a song ready.
Oh, that's very Fame.
It was, yeah. It was very nice. Much very Fame.
Sorry,
I was like, why are you pointing at me?
But there was one.
And I was doing inter-show referencing because that was one of Asabi's choices for the musical theatre week. Yeah.
You're going way back. I wasn't a fan of it.
Grace wasn't BG before Grace.
That's right, Oliver.
Or BC before Coburn.
Yeah.
No, am I allowed to? I just said your. Oh my God. I just said. Oh my God, I just told everyone who Superman is. That's so bad.
No.
I'm so sorry.
Put your glasses back on, Gracie Mac.
Yeah. You've been blown.
Oh no.
Sorry, and we'll keep going. Sorry.
Anyway,
Kiss.
Yes.
We used to have lunchtime concerts and I first heard it this like little boy, I think he was probably 11, which was the same age I was in year 7, singing Kiss. And I was like, this song is dope. And that was my first foray into learning about Prince because my mother never showed me Mum.
Yeah.
You know, to discover him on my own. She showed me lots of wonderful music, but not Prince.
Controversial.
And so
controversial.
So this song, Kiss. It was the lead single of his eighth album, Parade, in 1986. Number one worldwide hit.
Yay, yay.
Huge in so many countries. Held number one on US Billboard charts for 2 weeks. And NME voted Kiss the number one single of that year of 1986.
Come on, NME.
Prince wrote it as an acoustic demo originally, and then he gave it to the band Maserati, which was a band, 80s band, kind of short-lived, like a few years they were around in the 80s, that was a funk band formed by the former bass player from The Revolution.
Oh, yes.
Brown Mark.
Yep.
And so Maserati originally was working with it. They had the producer David Z working with them. And then Prince was like, actually, I'm going to take this back. So he ended up deciding to finish the song himself. But he kept the really tight funk feel that David Z had put on it, as well as the backing vocals that Maserati had put. So that was kind of their creation or their take on the track, and then Prince took that and finished it with his falsetto. Now the video clip for this is pretty great.
Yeah, it is cool.
I love how he starts with his like very what's the word, the style of dancing, I forget, but this beautiful like very like long I'm doing things but you can't see because it's a podcast. But he starts with this like really cool like dance style. What is that called?
Flailing.
Yeah, artful flailing. Yes. Yeah. But Rebecca Blake directed the music video. Now she, her body of work has a lot of 80s music video clips. Michael Bolton, George Benson, Louise Miguel, Sheena Easton. It's all, and a lot of them are really similar in, clearly her style is like kind of dark, very glam in some ways, often can be quite sexual, and depicting beautiful women, just like really, really beautifully stunning faces that are usually women in a lot of these film clips. And Prince is in that too. He's got a stunning face.
Exactly.
Yes. She also has, she's done a bunch of beauty commercials as well, like heaps of Pantene and all that kind of stuff. So that's, you know, she's just all in the beauty game.
Like a 90s perfume campaign. There's really like...
Well, even but like she did like Angelina Jolie Sunnies and like Halle Berry Pantene or something like right. that. Like all that kind of stuff. Is on her website if you want to check her out. So this song has been covered lots of times, a few notable times. There's one, probably the most famous cover that I could find, by this band Age of Chance. It's right. like British kind of alt-rock dance band. And in their words, we basically removed the sex and replaced it with lump hammers. So right. it's super industrial and I hate it. I hate it. it's awful. I was listening to, I mean... You know, it had a market at the time and it was quite critically acclaimed at the, like it had a good critical response, but I hate listening to it. It just sounds like so whitewashed, took all the funk out and the singing is like, they don't use all of the lyrics. They use some of them, but it's, yeah, just whitewashing the shit out of this awesome funk song and I don't appreciate it. Edge of Chance. Yeah, there you go. my next song, Keeping in the Funk Family, is Sexy MF.
Yes.
Yes, so good.
So good. You sexy motherfucker. So good. With his new band, the new band Power Generation, after him and the Revolution were no more, from the 1992 album Love Symbol. So the backing and groove had strong tones of old school funk. And he also brought this new element of modern R&B. And then his... into the backing, into the instrumentation, and then his vocals, kind of like rap star vocals, added in this hip hop element. So super, super cool, interesting blend of genres. His band in the recording has this great, or his band leading, sorry, like the way that he introduces and leads the band in the recording has this like James Brown-esque live feel to it. You know, he cycles through different instruments and like introduces them in like a groovy funky way, but you kind of know who's taking the next solo. And there's three solos in this, which is, you know, it's a very jam band kind of vibe of a song. I think I've got to say it's probably my absolute favorite Prince song, just for based on how awesome it makes me feel every time I listen to it without fail. It's got an organ solo, guitar solo, then a saxophone solo that kind of takes it out. It's very, some would say heavy-handed, yes. But I love it.
So good.
Something you wouldn't hear on the radio in 2020.
Yeah, that's right, for like a hit.
Every song is like 3 minutes.
Yeah,
barely
yeah,
these
yeah,
days.
It's way too long for, I mean, so many of Prince's songs were so long compared to the the tight time limit of today. Yeah,
and I expect to have all the extended played, the extended versions.
Yeah, yeah, they're absolutely. I agree. Yeah. Extended plays only. Yes. And this next one is from the lead single and title track of his 1981 album, Controversy.
Hey.
Controversy. Mm.
This is the one that we definitely use the album version from. The single, the album version is like seven, almost 8 minutes, I think. Mm. And the single version is like 3:39, 3:39.
No. Not good enough.
Not good enough. Not enough Prince. This song, again, very funky, very happy for me to hear. The song addresses all the speculation in the media that's happening at the time. It was just huge invasion of privacy to his life, of basically every aspect of his life, questioning everything about him, sexual orientation, gender identity, racial heritage, religion, everything. And so this song was really born out of, I'm sure, what was very difficult to deal with in the mainstream media. And he addresses these intrusions into his life in a kind of, in this song, but not directly. Nothing is ever direct with Prince. He, you know, sort of kind of the acceptance of that people will always react like this to success. I kind of get that vibe from the song. Particularly with someone like him who didn't fit into a clear box. Ever. Yep.
Nope.
You know, there was just nothing that you could be like, he's this and now we understand him, particularly in the media. So he's got this lyric that says, was it good for you? Was I what you wanted me to be? That happens a lot in the song. At one point he recites the Lord's Prayer in full, the entire fucking Lord's Prayer, which is just fueling this whole like conversation around, is he religious, is he blasphemous, blah, 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 you know, just kind of, I feel like that's kind of messing with them personally doing that. It's also so heavy-handed to recite the entire prayer, but you know, whatever.
Our Father who art in heaven.
Hallowed be thy name.
Yeah. The song starts with this like 80s, obviously, sounding drum kit and like synth bass, and then the guitar comes in and has this driving funk groove. Super enjoyable. It's considered Prince's breakthrough hit in Australia.
Oh, right. Okay.
It topped the charts at number 15 is where it got to. And before that, didn't hit the charts at all. No song that he released. So this is his first in 81 song that Australia started to pay attention to some Prince.
Good on him.
Right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Moving along here. My two final songs. Sexy MF is definitely my favorite song, but this first one I actually discovered recently in trying to find a fourth choice that I felt really, really like stuck in with the things that I love about Pritch.
Pritch.
Pritch. You know Pritch?
Yeah, Pritch is one of my favorites.
He's like busted, busted.
The ugly twin they keep in the dungeon.
The ugly twin with the blonde hair.
This song by Prince. It's called Willing and Able.
Always.
Always.
Yes.
Who isn't?
Yes.
If you're not, get in the game. So it's a sixth track on his 13th album, Diamonds and Pearls, released in 1991. This is the first album with the band that I mentioned previously, the New Power Generation. The song evolved from a jam session.
As they do.
Michael B., the drummer, laid down a beat that he'd been kind of working with. And then Levi Sisa Jr., the bass player, came with the bass line. I just kind of added these layers on top. Prince wrote the guitar and vocals on top of that. And it really has that feel. It has, and that's how the song starts. It starts with drums and then the bass comes in and the guitar. And it builds really nicely. My favorite part is when the gospel style BVs come in. And to me, it was quite unexpected when they come in. It was like, it's so tight and beautiful the way that he did that. It was a range really, really lovely. And later on, the synth sound comes in. It's like tight stabs. It's a very joyful feel for me listening to it. And I think it's the percussive elements and like the driving major guitar riff that it just makes me think of like a jam on a Sunday afternoon in golden hour. People are making like weird cocktails of the stuff they've just found in their cupboard in like a backyard somewhere. It just makes me think of that, like a really joyous, it's really specific, I know.
Okay.
But a very, very joyous social time.
That's like any party at your house.
Well, exactly.
I was about to say, it sounds like a 30th birthday party at the postcard.
Yeah, I mentioned it this episode. Yeah. it just reminds me that, so it makes me really happy because it makes me think of social music making together, just like the funnest thing to do. Towards the end, there's a sneaky rap in there, kind of sneaks it in, quite unexpected, by Tony M. Yeah. Who also penned and wrapped a little something on the end of Sexy MF, one of my previous choices.
Yes.
Now my fifth and final song.
Lay it on us.
Please do.
It's Musicology.
Yes.
Yeah.
Musicology.
Such a tight funk song. It's a title track from his 28th studio album in 2004. How many did you have? Did you say 49 or something?
46.
Oh my God.
46 and then two were released after his death. After his dad, 48 yeah. total.
Amazing. Yeah. It's yeah. Just seeing that it's your 28th album, I can't even imagine. Like,
damn.
And in a relatively short amount of time, what was his first single? Like 78?
Yeah,
and this was 2004. It's already his 28th album. Like, anyway. Yeah. The album and corresponding tour were timed to coincide with his induction to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Nice.
And this kind of came out of, it's like marked his rebirth into the public eye and for the mass media, because for the 5 years leading up to this, he was basically hermit. He was very low key. And he only released a few things just online.
Mm.
Yeah.
Is that when he did The Artist Formerly Known As? Or is that after this?
That's a good question.
I should don't
remember. Okay, I'll look it up.
Okay. Right. Okay. So the tour had a great band playing with him, but for the majority of the recording of this album, it was just all Prince alone by himself playing every single instrument, doing everything himself. There's only of the 12 tracks on the album, there's only four that have an actual outside drummer playing in them, John Blackwell. So it's pretty, I mean, that's pretty cool considering how just this one song itself is so intricate and layered and so, so tight. So it's very impressive. Just speaks to his musical gifts. This is a return to old school funk, this song. And it's definitely an homage to James Brown, for sure. Everything about this song. It starts, my favorite way to start a funk song, either with like a grunt or a scream, or in his case, ooh, little sexy ooh, and then it starts. So I love starting a funk song like that. And it really encapsulates all of my favorite Prince skills. It's really tight, but also kind of loose sounding BVs so that they sound really like very organic. It's got a solid groove that lays a framework for the song, and the groove is funk, which I love. And then he adds his vocal layers and horn stabs and organ, synth. It has all of these elements that he's so, so good at arranging and writing for. And it won a Grammy for Best Traditional R&B Performance. There you go. Those are my Prince songs.
Oh, I love that. Oh, such great choices, Gracie.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
Well, so we've got 10 great songs now on the playlist.
And I've got just a little bit of information.
Oh, yes? Artist formerly known as?
Yes, so he was the artist formerly known as from 1993 until 2000, so for 7 years.
There right, okay. Mm. So he was kind of low-key for like 5 years until 2004, yes. So there's a bit of a crossover there of being on the public eye. Okay, so he was artist formerly known as, but he'd finished that in 2000. Mm, okay.
There we go. Something about the millennium.
Well, you know. And I think he wasn't in a spat with Sony, and that's why he swapped.
Who's not in a spat with Sony?
Don't get me started.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm so Prince, mad at them right now.
MJ, Mariah, George Michael.
George Michael.
Exactly. Like, so many spats with Sony. What are you doing, Sony? Get it together.
And
you've got these icons and you still treat them like shit.
Oh, sign us.
No. Oh, yeah. But just sign the podcast.
Yeah, sign the podcast, Tony. Thank you.
Cool. Well, thank you so much, Gracie. We're going to have a short little break. And when we come back, the effervescent, passionate, loyal, beautiful, stunning, gorgeous Asabi.
Say it again.
Is going to enlighten us with her choices. Stay tuned.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome back, everyone.
Hey.
We are talking about Prince.
France.
Yeah, I was trying to do a, yeah, I was trying to do a funk thing for you.
I totally should. Oh, yeah. You're smarter than me. Now, Asabi.
Yes, ma'am.
Did you find it difficult to pick some songs?
OMFG.
Or this person that you feel minorly into?
I've never heard of him until tonight. So. Yeah.
It was so
educate
hard.
Us, Asabi. What are your five choices?
Oh, I changed choices so many times.
Did you? I did that a bit too. Yeah.
I was like, oh, I want this. I want this. No, I want this one. Oh, I want this. And then as I was listening to one of them, some other track clicked over. Oh, I want that. So
yeah, I'm glad that I at least had one Dubs Cry exhausting. To choose from. Otherwise, yeah. I would have been stuffed.
Yeah, I had some like really sort of iconic charty ones, and then I was like, oh no, let's get some that I know probably won't be chosen by everyone else. So my first, so I'm doing this in chronological order, so I can tell you the studio album that it's from. So my first song is I Wanna Be Your Lover.
Oh,
mm-hmm. Yes.
Great song.
Yeah.
Oh, I love this song. I actually performed this song in a tribute to Prince earlier this year. We did like 3 full hours of nothing but Prince. It was epic. At Rumpus Room.
Yes, Rumpus Room. Yeah, yes. Cool.
Is that place still open?
It is. Yeah.
Rumpus Room.
Yeah.
In West End.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Oh, I feel old. So
it's been around forever.
It's sort of had a resurgence, I got to say, with like gigs and stuff. Yeah.
Because they're doing live music again, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, not anymore. Well, but yeah, there was a, yeah.
Yeah. So we were probably, well, I don't know what the last gig was there, but March. Anyway.
It would have been one of the last, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, well, yeah. We did ours in January, so that
was... No, but like the church jam, sorry.
The church.
Of musicians that do those, yeah.
Yeah. So I Wanna Be Your Lover, which was off of his second studio album called Prince in 1979, and it was the lead single. This track is what I call vocal and lyrical honey. Like, it is so sweet. It is just, it's got this sick little guitar riff. It is super funky on the bass. And the last 3 minutes is just pure instrumental joy. Like, it just sounds like a jam session for the last 3 minutes, because the song itself is pretty short. You know, it's like 2 minutes, 45 seconds of singing. And then you've got like this electronic keys and synth and a polymoog, which he's playing. Prince is playing himself. It is just a beautiful, fun song. Now, it's said that the song details Prince's love for a woman and how he would treat her better than the man she's with, and frustrated that she thinks of him as a child. And it was later discovered or revealed that this song was about a crush he had on singer Patrice Rushen. So I don't know if you know who she is. She's a big singer back in the late 70s, early 80s.
Gorgeous.
And it was his first U.S. hit. So even though it was his second album, his first album didn't do so well. I guess you could almost say it was a flop, his first album.
Mm.
But then the second one. So true. I don't even know what the first album is. but I Wanna Be Your Lover was his first U.S. hit. It was number 11 on the Billboard Hot 100. America, I don't know what you were thinking. But it was number 1 on the Billboard Hot Soul Singles. So that's my first tune. Love that tune. Mm. All right, my second one, which is, I struggle with saying whether this is my ultimate favorite Prince tune. I have to say that when I'm on long drives late at night and I need to stay awake, I will put this on repeat so I can just sing it at the top of my lungs and it keeps me awake. 1999.
Yeah.
Yes, love this song. It's off of his 5th album in 1982. So 3 years.
Futuristic.
3 albums, right? Yeah. And I love the full 6-minute version, so please make sure the full 6-minute version is what's...
Note taken.
How would that be?
Because it has... So.
The powers that be, it's me.
Keep the illusion, sorry. Josh.
The algorithm puts it together.
Yeah. I'm like, do not look at the man behind the curtain. So for me, this song is like the ultimate end of the world party track, right? Like, it's got keys, it's got synth, it's got drums, it's got percussion, the bass is funky, there's that tambourine that comes at the end. Everybody knows I love a freaking tambourine. if a song could be an ensemble production. This song is an ensemble production. Mm. Everybody sings in it. It's like a massive jam session at the end where you've got people yelling, party, and you just got people shouting stuff. And it's and like every it's like everyone's all in. And we did this song on stage, and it truly is like everything is going. Every piece of instrumentation, like people are stomping, like the whole crowd goes nuts. This is just a great, great party track. I love this track. So now, in my words, the song opens by telling the story of waking up and realizing that the world is on the verge of revolution and morphs into this euphoric celebration of life as we hear party chanted over and over. Such a great song.
I'm a cigarette sorry.
I might, or a cold shower or something. I don't know. This song is so good. So now, Oz had it right. This song went to number 2 in Australia, only number 12 in America because we are fucked. And then it is number 215 on Rolling Stone's Greatest Songs of All Time. In a 2008 interview with Revolution drummer Bobby Z, he recalls that Prince wrote the song after watching the HBO documentary The Man Who Saw Tomorrow, which was about Nostradamus. So just, you know, thank you, Nostradamus, for
so much.
Putting this idea into this man's head and giving us an iconic piece of music. So love it. All right. My third track, which definitely is a song that you would need a cigarette after, Get Off with 2 T's, right? And I only just realized this because there are 2 versions of this song. So there's the original version, which is just Get Off with 1 T. And then the second version, which was released on the Diamond and Pearls album, which was his 13th studio album in 1991, with 2 T's. So make sure you get that right.
2 T's.
Off. Yeah, get off. Getst off.
What's the extra T, Asabi?
I don't know. Funky. I think they really want to like hit home. You need to get off. I don't know. I don't think there was any reasoning for why there was an extra T other than maybe to differentiate it from the first one. Yeah. So what I love about this song, so you've got sax player Eric Leeds, who's playing flute in this, you know, so he plays that da-da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na melody on the flute. The lyrics are very sexual, like the innuendo is high on this song. The bass is nice and heavy. There's lots of percussion. I could have sworn I heard a wood block in there. I don't know. And it's just unapologetically dirty and sexy. I remember blasting this song when I was a kid, and I'm so surprised my parents didn't make me stop because, yeah, they didn't like me listening to Prince when I was young. But whatever. And this is his first track with the new Power Generation. And like I said, it evolved from several earlier compositions, starting with the song Glam Slam from his 1988 Love Sexy album. And then he created an unreleased remix in 1991 called Glam Slam 91, which used the chorus of Glam Slam, but with new music and lyrics that borrowed partially from Graffiti Bridge's Love Machine. So he used all of that to create this new song. Loved it. So good. Now, my next track. I've got 2 more tracks. My next one, probably another really good favorite, but it's sort of... how do I explain it? It sort of brings together. So Prince is one of my favorite musical icons with Dave Chappelle, who is one of my
comedy
favorite,
icon, yeah.
Yeah, comedy icons, actor, writer.
I know. It's the album. Yeah, yeah, okay, so that's great.
So this is Breakfast Can Wait.
Yeah.
And this song, it's sweet, it's comedic, it's fun, it's light, it's funky. It is food. It is everything.
It is
Prince.
Food.
You know, like he mirrors, you know, finding the sexiness of someone with breakfast. I love it. It's so beautiful. So now this was a digital release on his website, thirdeyegirl.com, in February of 2013. And then they re-released it on his website, thirdeyetunes.com.
Oh my God.
Right? Which I'm like, wow, that iTunes. Right.
My Friday night just got so much more exciting. Right.
So he re-released it in August of 2013. So for me, this it's very funky. It's a very funky, slow jam, sort of kooky song. And now I'm going to read what I read. So inspired by, if you're familiar with Dave Chappelle, who had a two, really. He sort of did the third season. But he had this comedy sketch show on Comedy Central in the United States. He was the highest paid comedian on television at the time. He is a comedic fucking genius. Love Dave Chappelle. So Dave Chappelle had this skit called Charlie Murphy's True Hollywood Stories.
Rewatched that. I watch it probably like once a year. So good.
I watch it all the time. So well done. I have all of his, I have all seasons of his shows on DVD. I watch them all the time. Love it. So Charlie Murphy, who is Eddie Murphy's older brother, and he recently passed away a few years ago, Charlie, he would tell these stories about his time in Hollywood as being one of Eddie's sort of ride-alongs, right? So he did security for Eddie, and he was always hanging out with Eddie. And so he tells this story of when they ran into Prince at a club one night and how Prince invites them all over to play basketball at his house, and they're like, yeah, whatever, sure. Yeah. And so, like, it's Prince with all of his crew versus them and their crew. And Prince gets them clothing, you know, gym clothes to change into. But apparently when Prince and his crew come out, they're just wearing their normal clothes that they've been clubbing in. And so the guys are like, you're in heels, you're not going to beat us, you know. And then Prince just, like, goes to town on them because Prince played varsity basketball in high school. Yes, so he, like, little fun thing. So what Dave Chappelle appeared on the Jimmy Fallon show, and he tells this story. So he says, that's a Prince judo move right there, because when Prince released Breakfast Can Wait, the photo on the cover, on the album cover, was Dave Chappelle dressed as Prince holding a stack of pancakes. Yeah.
Yeah. So good. It's like the parody that he did. And the Prince just took it. So it's genius.
And it was so beautiful. So, this is the thing about Prince, right? He's just this funny, funny guy, right? And so Chappelle says, that's a Prince judo move right there. You make fun of Prince in a sketch, and he'll just use you in his album cover. What am I going to do? Sue him for using a picture of me dressed up like him? That's checkmate right there. So, yeah, the first time I saw it, I was like, why does Prince look... Oh, that's not Prince. That's Dave Chappelle. Oh, my God. So crazy. But I just love that, you know, he loved that sketch so much that he was like, I'm going to write a song and I'm going to put this dude on the cover. So good. All right. My last Prince song is one that I only just found today as I was doing my research, and it just happened to click over on the playlist on YouTube. That. It's called Thousands of Hugs and Kisses, or Thousands X's and O's. And this song is so groovy. It is just funky slow jam. You've got the Moog running and this beautiful little melody. The vocal harmonies are sweet. Now, this is off of his Hit and Run Phase 1 album, which was his 38th studio album in 2015. And it was released on Tidal. So we all know Tidal, which was Beyonce.
I just switched to them.
Oh, did you?
I just switched to Tidal. Yeah.
Okay, okay.
Well, yeah, divest, guys.
Well, yeah, they the streaming rate is the highest on Tidal, I think.
But like an insane amount. I didn't realize how much higher it
really?
Was.
Really? Yeah. Okay, so I might need to check them out. I don't really pay for any streaming.
How much is Tidal?
I was like, I'm going to go on this or try it out. It's exactly the same cost as Apple Music.
I consider
from.
Tidal.
So it's $11.99 a month, and it does all the same deals as 30 days free, blah, blah, blah. Cool.
Yeah, okay.
So, and so far, I haven't found anything that wasn't available on there that the other two big ones had. So anyway.
Sure. Yeah.
Well,
I'd recommend.
All right, Tidal, we are Chefology. Please give
us a
hello, hello.
Absolutely.
We love you.
We love the Illuminati. Sorry.
don't. So anyway, from the Prince Vault, which is a wealth of information.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Because I couldn't find anything anywhere else on this song. This was initially recorded in the spring of 1992. So remember, it was released in 2015 in Sydney with Rosie Gaines on Vox, so Rosie from the New Power Generation. And then they later re-recorded it in 1993 or 94 with Nona Gay. And that it was going to be used on one of her albums, but then that never got finished. And then Prince decided to re-record it in 2014 at Paisley Park. And that's the version that you now hear that finally got released on the Hit and Run album. So Prince, and he's known for doing, you know, all of his vocals. He plays bass, he plays guitar. He just kind of records everything, spits it out. So those are my tracks. I do have a few honorable mentions.
Oh, please do. Mm-hmm.
All right, Raspberry Beret.
Yes, a classic Asabi choice.
Yes, right. What? It's my childhood right there. If I Was Your Girlfriend, which is a tune that was introduced to me earlier this year when I performed with a Canadian Prince tribute artist who was over here visiting. And How Come You Don't Call Me Anymore?
Ah, that was also one of my choices.
Was it?
Yeah, so when we did famous covers, I chose the, the Alicia Keys one. Alicia Keys,
yes. And that's why it's just an honorable mention, so it won't be doubled on a playlist.
All goosh.
Yeah, so that's all I got.
Wait, Raspberry Ray was like your first ever choice on the first playlist, I think.
No, was it?
No, no.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
No.
I'm going to go back.
I'm checking.
Oh, you're checking, okay.
Yeah. No, Purple Rain. It was Purple Rain.
No, Purple Rain was my choice. I'm pretty sure Raspberry Ray was one of your choices. Or 1985, that was the third episode.
Oh, it was too.
Yes. You honorably mentioned your own choice. I like that.
You know, yes. I couldn't help it. I love it.
The taste level is like, you know, too high.
I'm impressed that you remembered that.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, but you know, my brain has random facts in here. That's true. That actually helps my life.
No math, but yeah, exactly.
I'll forget my work roster even with a calendar, but I can tell you every Mariah Carey discography.
It's like, what did a Sabi choose? That's what I can remember. All right, guys, those are my choices.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Asabi. No that way. Was beautiful. And you can't see her face at home, people, but rest assured, she was glowing that entire time. Just
and
so
it wasn't,
happy.
And it's not because she's under a downlight either.
No, don't you worry. It wasn't highlighted. It was real.
It's the joy that I have in talking about
the
Prince.
Right.
Oh,
and the joy of the Lord is your strength. Anyway, so keep going.
Hallowed be thy name.
Yes.
Now I'm a little nervous to talk about our next segment. Asabi.
No, it's fine. No, I'm gone.
Well, stay tuned. All right, stay tuned, everyone, for our favorite segment coming up.
All right, let's cut to the chase.
We're
not foxing around here. All right.
Nope.
You know, we've been talking about the prolific artist known as Prince.
Yes.
If you've been living under a rock and been ignoring us for the past, you know, 45 minutes or whatever. So as always, the good comes with the bad. Mm-hmm. And we love Prince. I mean, Asabi definitely loves Prince.
We just like him, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
I would marry him if I could. Yeah.
I would too, to be quite honest. Oh, I think, what an interesting life. Also, him and Sheila E. had like a thing for years, right?
Did they? Incredible. I don't know if they really did. I think that, so the media really liked to make up stories about him. And
well,
because he was actually quite religious, and
he was heavy religious.
Yeah, he was a Jehovah's Witness or something.
And then Jehovah's Witness.
Well,
went even further.
Sheila E. said in an interview on The Real, which is my favorite talk show, that she was asked, "What's the most romantic thing Prince ever did for you?"
Yes,
and she said, "Every day on tour, he sent her flowers."
Ooh. Well, that doesn't necessarily mean they had a thing.
Oh, but
he just liked her drumming.
Yeah,
okay?
yeah. But I'm not saying that they were together.
No,
I'm just saying.
I know what you're trying to say.
Okay,
you're trying to put words in Prince's mouth.
Stop
trying to make him look bad. Exactly. His past. Okay.
Stop trying to make a dead bitch look bad.
We want, yeah.
He will strike you down from the heavens.
Oh my God. Well, rest in power, Prince.
You're gonna get laryngitis next week. I know it.
Oh no.
Can we also just announce that? So we've recorded two episodes today, and I've not hit the mic once. Finally,
yay! So proud
it took
of you.
20
There's
episodes,
still time.
And I finally have learnt just to keep my hands on my knees the entire time.
I thought you were less animated than normal.
Oh my gosh!
Is it hard?
It is. No.
I mean, gotta give more phase. That's true.
I'm really good at like sounding like I'm excited, but having deadpan face. Like Alrighty, well,
poker face.
We've got to do our favorite segment, which is It's a flop. And we're going to choose a song of Prince's that we aren't feeling. So I'm really interested to know what Gracie has chosen. Please tell us.
Okay, so my choice.
Yes.
My choice is a ballad because I don't really feel Prince has the voice for a ballad. Don't hate me.
I agree with you.
I love his vocal styling. There's so many things, but on ballads, it just doesn't do it for me.
No, that's fine. Okay. I would love to hear him try and sing All By Myself, Celine Dion's rendition. I think that just wouldn't be the one for me.
So I've chosen.
Sorry, I've already fucked. Sorry.
I've chosen, and this song is 6:49. I'd flop it too. And it doesn't go anywhere. It's called Sometimes It Snows in April from Parade.
Australia, it definitely does not. So.
I noticed in the YouTube comments, someone's like, it snows every year in April since Prince died.
In Minneapolis.
Which is sweet, but who knows if that's true. Yeah, it's a really long song. It doesn't go anywhere, and it's a ballad. And I skip through to be like, maybe something happens in this song.
Nothing happens.
It doesn't happen.
Alrighty. Well, thank you for sharing that with us, Grace. And I do agree with your sentiments.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Asabi, I'm very, very interested to know what you have flopped for us.
It was so hard. So hard.
Oh, that's what I said last night, but keep going.
I was about to say, literally. my flop, and again, like, it's difficult for me to say it, but Darling Nikki.
Who is Nikki?
She's a bitch. No. she's a whore. She's a prostitute.
Oh my God.
Yeah, no. The song is, it's sexually liberating, I guess. I don't know. It was covered by the Foo Fighters. I have a story about it, actually, but the Foo Fighters covering that. I heard a young girl, I was doing some theater show back in Bakersfield, and she couldn't have been older than 15, 16 maybe. And I heard her singing Darling Nikki. And I turned around and I said, your parents let you sing that song? Because it's very, like, very hypersexual.
Yeah, okay.
And, like, the lyrics are just like, what? And she was like, it's a Foo Fighters song. And I nearly took the brush, and you know I got a heavy brush because got some thick ass curls on this head, and smacked her in the face and said, that is not the Foo Fighters.
How old was she?
Like 16. We could do that back then.
Right. you can teach them good when they're 16.
She was shocked when I told her that it's a Prince song and that the Foo Fighters were covering it. She was like, but the Foo Fighters write all of their music. I'm like, not this one, bitch. Bam.
That's my flop. Beautiful. Alrighty.
What you got, Josh?
I've got one. So it's from the Purple Rain album. And I guess I had a difficulty mostly because I don't know four 46 albums.
But I was like, what I'll do is
listen to one of his most prolific albums and choose one from there. How's that?
Purple Rain, obviously, from the film as well. Okay, it's his process.
That's all right. Okay.
And I'll be honest, the one that bored me the most was The Beautiful Ones.
Yeah.
Just because, I think in my mind, I expect more.
He hasn't done enough for you.
Yeah, yeah. And I just thought it was just one of the more simplistic ones that I was like, oh, this is not really the Prince vibe that I was looking for today. So
that's a double flop.
Yeah, exactly. So The Beautiful Ones.
Oh. There we go.
And that concludes another episode of Shuffleology. Happy 20th episode.
Yay.
Amazing. Happy 20. When we started back in April, I didn't think we'd get past a week. So I'm really, really glad that. And also, we're wondering how to do our seasons as well. So we're not sure if we want to end it or not end, or when to have a little break
over Christmas.
Yes.
December, January.
I know, because it'd be lovely to do a Christmas shuffle.
Oh, Christmas theme.
Because Mariah.
I definitely think we could have like a mid-season, like, where we have like 1 week off or something like that.
Well, listeners, let us know what you think.
Shuffleologypodcast@gmail.com. Shuffleologypodcast@gmail.com. Shuffleologypodcast on Instagram and Shuffleologypodcast on Facebook.
How long should we go for?
Yeah, exactly. Are you bored of us yet? That's really what the real question is. Right, well, my name's Josh Tavetta. Of course, we had the beautiful Asabi Goodman. Thank you for your beautiful write-up at the beginning of the episode as well.
Welcome.
Also, the incredible Gracie Mac.
Oh, thank you for listening.
And we will see you on the next episode. Goodbye.
Bye.